Well, everybody, welcome to episode 312 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to our good friends at Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. When it comes to real estate, experience matters. At Legacy Realty, we pride ourselves on having one of the largest and most experienced teams in Ankeny, with over 75 agents strong. As one of the top brokerages in the metro, our local agents bring unparalleled knowledge of the market to help you make the best decisions for your home sale or purchase. Whether you're buying your first home, upgrading, or looking to sell, our team is ready to provide expert guidance every step of the way. Backed by the national strength of LPT Realty, we offer cutting-edge tools and marketing strategies to ensure your success. Legacy Realty of Iowa, your trusted partner for buying or selling in Central Iowa. All right, well, we're going to talk a lot of Ankeny Centennial softball today. Later on, I'll be visiting with Centennial coach Brett Delaney and one of his senior standouts, and we'll be previewing next week's Class 5A state tournament at Fort Dodge. But first, I've got a few other special guests lined up for today. Leading off is one of our frequent guests on the podcast. We usually talk some football with him because he coaches the offensive line at Dowling Catholic, but we're going to break down the state softball tournament today with him. He is Andy Pollack. Andy, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Good afternoon. I'm great. It's a great time of year. It feels like tailgating weather outside. I'm ready to roll.
Oh, you bet. Well, yeah, before we talk about the softball tournament, I know you've got a big event coming up this afternoon, a ribbon cutting at Cabaret. You know, do you want to tell our audience about your new venture?
Yeah, so I've been running now for 5 years at Centennial Digital and picked up doing all the live stream for Centennial for a lot of different sports over there, and then we added the Ankeny Activities Network a couple years after that, and it's just kind of time. I've got a production company on the side, and I'm starting to do a little bit more fundraising for the schools and in-game advertisements and sponsorships there for the schools as well, and it was just time to get everything organized kind of into one. And with having four daughters all going through and playing sports, and everything we do is sports, I came up with Girl Dad Media. So we've got Girl Dad Media. We're having a ribbon cutting and a little open house here this afternoon and evening in the Cabaret. It's going to be a great night to sit on the patio and enjoy one of your favorite beverages and meet with a lot of fun people in town.
Well, I'll definitely try to stop by there. I think I've got three places to go this afternoon, but that's on my list.
It'll be a good place to end at.
Well, isn't it crazy how much the sports media business has changed over the last 20 years? I think about what my job was like 20 years ago and what it is today. I mean, I wasn't doing podcasts. I mean, just the whole business has changed, hasn't it?
Very much so. As we sit there, you know, COVID, I think for me, for what I do, changed everything because it just became an expectation that everything would be live streamed. And I hear from parents all the time of, you know, I'm going to this school, where's the link? It's like, they don't do a stream, or they'll see the huddle camera, and it's still a way to see it, but it's just not the same. And I've been really proud of our crew and everything they've done over the last 4 months. We took a big step forward and had some people tell us during softball games, it feels like they're watching ESPN. And I take a lot of pride in that, because not saying we compete with them, but I think just the expectation of what things will look like based on all the other things, ESPN Plus, has the bar's been set pretty high, and we want to reach that bar. And some nights when we're spread pretty thin, it's tough to do that when we've got one camera at every place. But we've had some pretty quality productions this year. I'm proud of what our crew's putting out.
Well, for sure. Well, yeah, let's talk about the Class 5A tournament now. Seven of the top eight teams did make it to state. So regional tournaments, you know, mostly went according to form. The one region where we had a bunch of upsets was Region 5, where both number 6 Johnston and number 11 Cedar Rapids Prairie were knocked off in the semifinal round, and Dowling eventually emerged as the regional champ. So the Maroons made it to state with a 15-18 record, and they pretty much rolled through that bracket. You know, did you see the Maroons winning three games and making it to Fort Dodge?
I didn't, but I know a lot of CIML coaches did. If you pay attention to what the Maroons have done, particularly over the last third of the season, they put a scare into Centennial when they played. They put a big scare into Waukee Northwest, the number one team, when they played here recently towards the end of the year. I think they'll have a couple of their club players back for the state tournament, I believe, so that could make them even more dangerous. I've got to know Coach Parrott very well over the last few years that he's been down at Dowling, and I know how hard he works those girls. And it's not an accident that they're at this point right now, and they've played in, you know, the toughest league in the state, the CIML, so that can make your record look a little skewed when they've got to play the likes of Centennial and Waukee Northwest and Valley and Johnston and Ankeny and all that, and Southeast Polk this year, and everybody who's played very well, so that can skew things a little bit. But that's a quality team, and if you look, they hadn't when they were losing been getting blown out. They had a lot of close losses, and they kind of started to put it together. And you know, Johnston's a team that they went through a lot this year, losing their head coach right before the season started. And you know, you get to the end of the year and you've got a couple coaches who have experience, but you know, you don't know how things are going to work out at that point. And Dowling pulls the upset, and then Cedar Rapids Jefferson pulls the upset. So Dowling, who had a play-in game, gets to host
That's crazy.
To go to state, which is, it's so bizarre to me, but that's, you know, one game playoff. Weird things can happen.
Well, the reward for Dowling is that it now gets to play the top seed, Waukee Northwest, in Monday's quarterfinals. The Wolves are 37-5, and they had a 26-game winning streak during the regular season. Northwest, of course, has one of the state's best pitchers in Sophia Schlater. She's coming off a no-hitter against Ottumwa, where she had 17 strikeouts. You know, I wouldn't have given Dowling much of a chance, but it sounds like from what you said, with a couple players maybe coming back, that maybe you give them a chance. Huh?
Yeah, I was just looking. So Dowling lost to Waukee Northwest 4-0 earlier on in the season. And as of late, I think it was a 1-0 or 2-0 loss.
1-0 was the last one.
1-0, yeah, when they played here, just a couple weeks ago. So they're not scared of them at all. Sophie Schlater is, she might be a generational talent. She may be one of the best players we've seen in the state, just a freshman. And as long as she stays playing school ball over at Northwest, they've got an outstanding chance in every game they play. And for them, the tournament's going to go as Sophie Schlater goes. You mentioned she had 16, 17 strikeouts and the no-hitter win over Ottumwa the other night, but the score was just 2-0. I mean, so they have, there's a lot of different things there that come into play, and they've got their hits at timely, in timely moments. They've been able to put through enough runs to win these games. And you know, we keep saying all it's going to take is one mistake by Schlater. If she leaves one out over the plate in a team with a hitter like Jordan Kennedy or Mackenzie Moeller at Valley, that's the type of team that can beat her. She hasn't made that mistake yet this year.
Right, right.
If you look there, well, I think she's got one loss that came very early in the year. I don't remember who that was against, but I think she's like 16-1, 17-1 on the season. But yeah, she's been really, really good. Their losses have come when one of their other pitchers has been pitching. So
right.
she's just really good. And at this stage, no one else is going to be pitching for them.
Right, right. Well, of course, the Wolves were upset by Ankeny in last year's quarterfinals. You know, Ankeny was like a 500 team. I didn't see that one coming either.
No, so. They didn't. And, you know, Ankeny last year had, I can't remember the name of the pitcher now, but she went to
Abby Rusher.
Yeah. Rusher, yeah, and she was outstanding in that game. And again, they got a couple timely hits. And before you know it, Waukee Northwest, they're not known for their hitting. They're known for playing defense and winning those really close games. And Ankeny was able to score a couple runs. And that's what got them onto that second round. So I'm not saying that it's not impossible, because there's certainly some chances, again, if she leaves one over the plate. But to pick up on her rise ball and her changeup, and when she tops out in the mid-60s, that's just been so hard on hitters around here.
Well, the winner of that game would advance to Wednesday's semifinals against the winner of a game between number 4 Centennial and number 5 Valley. You know, so that entire side of the bracket is comprised of CIML teams. Now, the Jaguars come into the game on a 9-game winning streak, and they've also swept all three meetings against Valley, but each game got progressively closer as the scores were 8-0, 8-4, and 8-6. You know, and Centennial's already seen how tough it is to beat a familiar opponent for the fourth time, you know, because they had that game against Urbandale where they had to come from behind 6-0. So what do you think are going to be the keys to this game?
Well, I think it's very notable that in the three wins over Valley this year, Centennial has won with three different pitchers. They've won with Skazinski, they've won with Linscomb, and they've won with Spiegel.
Yep.
In each of those games. And I think there's no teams that can say they've swept a team using three different pitchers. That's unheard of right now. Most teams are looking for one good pitcher, maybe two, let alone three. And we can talk about them in a second. But the fact that they've been able to do that, they've hit all the Valley pitchers very well. And that's been a key to the season. And the runs that the Jaguars put up has been a huge part of it. You know, they've kept teams down from what they normally do, what teams normally have for an output offensively, but it's been the runs coming through for the Jaguars. And Tom Bakey is an outstanding coach for Valley. He's a Hall of Famer. He's been around for a long time, and he always has something up his sleeve. There's some gamesmanship things there, and he's into the heads of everybody out there, the umpires and the players on the other team, the coaches on the other team. And, you know, Coach Delaney's seen all that. He's been around it for quite a while right now. So, but I know there's always going to be something in a Valley game that's going to be out of the ordinary that you got to be ready for, and you just got to learn to play through it.
Well, the game features a matchup between the top two home run hitters in Class 5A. Centennial's Jordan Kennedy and Valley's Mackenzie Moeller are tied for the lead in Class 5A with 20 homers apiece, and they each had a pair of blasts in the last game, between these two teams on July 3rd.
Yeah, Moeller led the game off with.
Right. Kennedy, though, she benefits from having hitters like Matty Ott and Corey Linscomb behind her, because they've hit 13 and 11 home runs, respectively. The Tigers, meanwhile, don't have anyone else in the lineup with more than 8. So I know it's not as simple as that, but do you think maybe it's a little bit easier to pitch around Moeller than Kennedy?
Well, no, actually, I don't think it is. They use her as a leadoff batter.
Right.
And when they do that, it makes it, you don't want to put that first batter on. And that's what's allowed her to have more people pitch to her while she's out there, not allowed to pitch around her. That's been the crazy part, though, at the end of the season for the Jaguars. Teams are trying to pitch around Jordan. I think she's up to 35 walks on the season. Maybe it's even more than that right now. Mm-hmm. And it's not doing any good. In fact, in that regional semifinal game, that middle part of the order that you mentioned with Jordan and Matty Ott and Corey Linscomb, they were 9 for 12 in that game. And I'm pretty sure the other night in that sub-state final, I think between the three of them, they got on base every single time they were up, between walks, hit by pitches, and hits. And there were some clutch hits there, and I may need to check my mouth on that. It may have been one time that one of them didn't get on, but it was what they've done right now in the postseason, those middle three, and really leading up to it at the end of the season, what they've done is something that is going to make them really tough to knock out here in the postseason.
Well, you mentioned the pitchers earlier, and Valley does have a clear number one pitcher in Maddie Zlomke. She's 20-5 with a 2.39 ERA. The Jaguars did already rough her up once this season, so, you know, so they have to feel pretty good about that matchup. I'm assuming that she would pitch again. You know, and you mentioned the three-headed monster that Centennial has. They actually have two more that Coach Delaney has confidence in, and I have no idea who they're going to pitch. You know, do you have a feel for who they might go to?
The other night he caught me completely off guard when he went into the freshman Peyton Spiegel. I was not expecting that at all when I showed up, and I get there about 3 hours before the game starts setting up, and he's already in there with his lineup cards already sitting right in front of me when I show up, and I saw that there, and he's like, she's earned it. She's got the right to do it. And she is a fun, animated pitcher to watch throw the ball. Young yet, like I mentioned, as a freshman, comes from good stock in the softball world, but she's learned a lot from the older pitchers in the crew, and they all bring a little bit something different, where she throws a little bit harder and just brings, like I said, a little more of that spark to what goes on. Corey is one that can blow by everybody, and Aubrey's that crafty veteran that can find your spots and throw it and make you look foolish swinging at a ball that's in the dirt when it looked like it was coming right at belt high. So they all bring a little bit something different, and it's been a lot of fun to watch the combination of those work. And, you know, Delaney's going to go with who's got the hot hand at that particular time. You hope you choose that hot hand to start the game, but as long as everything's working, he's going to stick with it. But I, you know, the other night, he can have a quick hook, and the girls don't feel bad about it, because if something goes wrong, you got two others, or like you mentioned, maybe four others even, that can step in and pick up a couple outs when that time comes.
Well, Aubrey probably had the most impressive win of those three against Valley. I saw the game over there at Valley where she threw a three-hit shutout, had three strikeouts. But Coach has been using her exclusively in relief here in the postseason, so maybe he likes that role for her now. So, yeah, I really have no idea.
There's a little change of pace when she comes in. Like I mentioned, she's got almost a little more of that Greg Maddux to her, where she can find those openings, gets a lot of ground balls, easy pop flies with what she throws. And obviously she's got a pretty talented defense behind her. I think, you know, one of the things I failed to mention is, you know, the Jaguars, we talk so much about that middle part of the lineup, but over the last couple of weeks, I think the senior McKenna Foster, the catcher, she bats seventh. She has started to hit the ball very well, and has really had just some timely clutch hits, and that's been a big part of their run here towards the end of the season. And really all through the season, Cam Starr, the shortstop, who's had an outstanding year with a glove, she's batting like 390 right now, and she bats ninth in the order. I can't imagine there's any teams around in the state tournament right now that have a number nine batter that is hitting that well. And she's been in the lineup all year. We're not just talking about a game two starter. She's been in this lineup the entire season, and it really allows him to, as they get that lineup turned over, it really allows him to use that kind of that double leadoff mentality as she comes back up to the plate. And she has been absolutely clutch in the postseason as well.
Why don't we spend too much time on the other side of the bracket, where we have number three Southeast Polk and then three teams from Eastern Iowa, who I'm not that familiar with. Number two Linmar, number seven Cedar Falls, and number eight Pleasant Valley.
I've seen them all play multiple times this year.
Well, good. That's, yeah. That's why I'm asking you. Of course, Pleasant Valley is the defending champ, but I know the Spartans lost, you know, a few key pieces from that team. You know, how do you see that side of the bracket?
Yeah, well, Pleasant Valley still hits the ball really well, and that's, I think this is going to be the side of the bracket where you're going to see a lot of runs put up through there. They all those teams up and down the lineup are really, really good hitting teams. Centennial split with Linmar earlier this year, actually got swept by Cedar Falls here at home this year, part of a brutal week where I think they had 12 games in the week. They played Cedar Falls here on Friday night and then drove to Linmar the next morning and played there. So that was a really tough, almost like a club ball schedule that they played during that part of the year. But all those teams have decent pitching, but it's their hitting that they do a really good job of, and they play solid defense behind them. Southeast Polk, I think, I'm not going to call them a huge surprise this year because they do have a pretty strong tradition in softball, but the fact that they've been able to compete at the level they have all year long, they've got some talented players. They hit the ball okay, but they play. Their pitch calling and their defense is outstanding, and they just keep teams at the plate, they keep them so uncomfortable with everything that they throw at you. So there would be no surprise of any of the teams that come out of that side. Pleasant Valley was a preseason number one. So obviously there was some expectation that they would be there. They've given up a lot of runs this year, but that's not always going to win you at state.
Right.
Things
right.
can go, those run, those balls that are flying out of the park and turn into pop flies to the center fielder in a hurry. So no team coming out of that side would surprise me at all.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I feel too, just looking at it. And, you know, on Ankeny's Centennial side of the bracket, you know, even though they beat Valley three times, I wouldn't be shocked if Valley won that game.
It's some super talented teams. And like I mentioned earlier, no one wants to play that one right now. You talk to a lot of the coaches in the CIML and no one wanted to draw them in the postseason.
Yeah, I certainly am not going to pick a winner. I'm not going to ask you to pick a winner either. I kind of feel like maybe it was Northwest tournament to lose, but maybe not.
Like I said, they're with Sophie, I mean, they're the clear favorite with her pitching. She strikes out a lot of batters. Centennial has started to hit her better as they've seen her for the two times they've seen her this year. The second time, they shouldn't say hit her, but they touched the ball better than they did the first time. But she just pitches and blows it by, and if you make contact, it's usually not solid.
Right. Well, it should be a fun week. I'm looking forward to it. But, hey, I'll see you up there. Thanks, Andy.
You bet. We'll see you later.
Yep. All right. Well, my next guest is a former Ankeny baseball coach who later went on to become the athletic director at Valley High School. He just recently retired from that position after a long and successful career. He was named AD of the Year by the Iowa High School Athletic Directors Association in 2017. And his daughter, Carrie, is a junior second baseman on the Valley softball team, so I imagine he will still be at the game for Centennial on Monday. He's Brad Rose. Brad, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks. I appreciate the kind words.
Hey, you bet. Were you getting used to being just a parent now and not the AD?
Well, I'm on about my second week, yeah. So it feels like vacation right now, but I'm ready to figure out this retired life for a little bit.
Well, is it more or less stressful now when you watch a game?
It's still stressful. It's just a different, you know, I've always agonized when our teams are in the playoffs, you know, because I know how all the kids work and all the coaches. And so I take every you know, last night we lost a tough one to Johnston. You know, we got second in the league and in the CIML in baseball, and Johnston was first, and we had to play in the sub-state last night, 5-2. It was a good game. We got a 2-1 lead. Just hard to win at Johnston. It's just really
hard. Oh, yeah.
It was such a good team. And they outplayed us and deserved it. But I do wear those on my sleeve, you know, a little bit. And But I hardly slept before the Waukee game for a couple of days. I've had a hard time falling asleep just because you're playing a conference team, just like we're going to play you guys for the fourth time, you know. And even though the Centennials beat us three times, they have to think about, okay, you know, are we going to make sure we're up for this game? And I was thinking the same thing about Waukee. You know, I had a couple of girls on the Waukee team that I coached when they were little. It's just, yeah. So to answer your question, long answer is no, it's just as stressful. Yeah.
Right. I'm not surprised.
But I enjoy it.
Well, since you arrived at Valley in 2009, the Tigers have won at least 30 state team championships, I believe, including the last three in boys basketball. Now, I'm sure you have a lot of great memories from your time there. What are you getting? What are you going to remember the most? Is it the relationship that you've had with the coaches and the athletes?
I mean, it's there's a lot to be thankful for and blessed, you know, and that kind of thing. I think watching kids develop, I think the change when I moved to West Des Moines, there was 6% free and reduced lunch, and now we're over 50, right just shy of 50%. And yet we've been able to keep our athletics and our fine arts. I was the director of activity, so all that. We've been able to keep that at a very high level. We won the All-Sports Trophy last year, sending, you know, 14 teams to the final six. This year we'll be in the top four again in the All-Sports Trophy. And I think just seeing our coaches adapt and learn to relate to all, you know, it's not just a bunch of kids who've had all this specialized training coming in. It's about developing when they're younger and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, we beat Dallin on a homecoming night one time, and we had fireworks and all that kind of stuff in football. That was a lot of fun. Our basketball run this last, you know, 3 years has been pretty special. And I'm watching two girls state champion, you know, Zoe Young, and those girls kind of winning two state titles was a lot of fun. I think I've had a state, I've watched us win a state title in all but maybe two sports. You know, when Travis Young won the team title in wrestling, that was pretty special. You know, just seeing those kids and all that's been great. You know, and the monstrous Valley Fest things, those kind of things. But I would say Friday nights in our league, any night in any sport's pretty big time deal. You know.
Oh yeah. Well, I know Zach Simram has been named to replace you, and he's got some big shoes to fill. And I don't know if you gave him any advice or not. And you mentioned maybe a little bit of how things have changed over the years. But what have been some of the changes over the last couple of decades? Do you feel like the job is different now than it was when you took over?
Yeah, I do. I think it's we're taking care of kids a little more. You know, I think like Gary Swenson last year packing up for the finals, and I'm down there kind of checking to see if he needs any help. And he's putting three or four sets of uniforms into this bag. And I go, what's this for? He goes, oh, we have some kids that, you know, we even have a few homeless kids. That, now, not that, I mean, the majority of our kids are, our parents are our strength, and our community is our strength, just like here in Ankeny. You know, but he had kids, you know, he had a starter that forgot his pants. Mm-hmm. Right? And in our old school days, you know, when you and I played, they would have said, well, you're not playing, you know. Well, here's a kid that maybe needs a little help. You know, he doesn't have mom, dad at home, you know. And he's worked his tail off, but then he made a mistake, you know. So do we punish him or do we take care of him? That's just something you've learned to take care of. Meet kids where they're at, you know, and try to not baby them, but try to mentor them along a little more. I've seen that. The technology has really changed things. All the good and the bad that comes with social media, even these podcasts, things like this, you know, how we're talking about each other before the game, trying to get ahead of that. It's really, really this, all the negative social media, like Barstool and all those kind of things, are really, really, I don't like them at all. Mm-hmm. But then there's also the positive where we get to support. And I mean, I remember we had to get our stats out when I was the Yankee head baseball coach. If you didn't get stats in on Monday night, the stats weren't in the line register on Tuesday.
Right.
They would put in there. Coach forgot to report. Yeah. There's this pressure to get all your stats in. And now, you know, we get everything out. Everything's online. The more information, though, I feel like we have access to, the more people will call and ask, what time's the game? Well, we can't put it out anymore than what we do. But it's kind of an interesting thing. Some people are really dialed in to their phones, and there's a part of me that doesn't want to be on their phone at all. So I understand that part that just wants to look at a schedule in their hand and go to games too. So I think taking care of kids are resilient. They're going to do whatever we expect. The coaches are expected to have a year-round program, which I think we were probably starting to get to in the early 2000s, you know, this day of, you know. And then in our league, especially in the CIML, three sport athletes are really rare now.
Oh, yeah.
Because you have to specialize. So, mm-hmm. You know, you think of like Matty Ott, who's a tremendous softball and volleyball player. And, you know, my daughter plays basketball and softball. And we have several of those athletes within this group that do that. But, you know, I can think of like when Nelson was playing basketball and football at Waukee, and then he's been in the NFL for 10 years. Is he a two sport athlete because he's a great athlete, or was he a great athlete because he did two sports or three sports? You know? Mm-hmm. And I think we're seeing, I feel like Ankeny used to really push for multi sport athletes when I was here, and I really appreciate that when I was coaching. At the same time, anything over two is a lot. It just is in this league to be able to compete, because you got to do so many reps. You know?
Yeah, I know how these kids do it, because I'm sure their coaches and their various sports are pulling them in different directions, you know, in their off season. And, you know, what do you do?
And there's an internal pressure, you know. There's club sports and that kind of stuff too. And there's internal pressure to be seen, this desire to play for someone you don't know. Instead, I'm more about, let's play for the man and woman that we trust, which is our high school coach. That's how I feel about it. Like, let's focus on that, and then things will work out for you in the end, I feel like. But I do understand, you know, the club sports is, you know, you'll see in our softball league, I mean, the conference title and the seedings at state really were influenced by kids that weren't at games during the season. We mm-hmm. had several teams that had girls that were gone. Would they have won more and beat somebody else, you know?
Right.
You know, some coaches don't allow it. Some coaches allow kids to play both softball, both travel ball and high school ball at the same time. Some don't. It's interesting how that dynamic has come into play.
Oh, for sure.
And to answer your question, there's been two or three things like that just have really changed, you know?
Well, yeah, I must be getting old, because it seems like I have a lot of friends who are retiring now, and I'm getting a little bit jealous. But do you have any big plans for your retirement, or maybe just ready to have some time off, huh?
The truth is, my wife has really influenced me to take care of myself. You know, I'm walking every day about 6:30 in the morning for about 3 miles. I go and walk around with a stadium. It's called, the Triangle, the school community triangle, or the stadium and all that up there. Mm-hmm. And then I work out over lunch and hit the sauna after that. And then I do a bunch of in between things. You know, help. I want to be involved for my daughter to go hit when she wants to go hit or do things. Then I do the honeydew type of list. You know, the one gig I have is I volunteer out at the Van Meter Veterans Cemetery. I mow around. I push them all around all the stones on Tuesdays and Fridays. The Knights of Columbus is the group that does that. And then the older guys, the excellent guys, I'm one of the young guys, believe it or not.
Yeah.
About 59, 60 years old. They ride the riding mowers. And that place is awesome out there. And it's so well kept. And it's just kind of my way. I get about 13,000 to 16,000 steps in doing that. And it's very peaceful for me. I throw a book on tape in my ear pods and I mow and feel like I'm giving back. And that's right now, that's all I got planned. Man, I'm going to do some fishing when the hawk falls over. I'm going to go and fish up in Minnesota a little bit. And then I think about September, my wife runs a business from her home. She'll probably get tired of me and say, you need to get out and go do something. So yeah, we'll see. But right now, I'm not really looking for a job.
Well, good for you.
Yeah, thank you.
Good for you. Well, let's talk a little bit of softball more before I let you go. You know, Valley, of course, has been a perennial contender, and they played second in last year's tournament. Like you mentioned, the Tigers will be looking to avenge their three losses to Centennial during the regular season. You know, Valley isn't the underdog very often, and I imagine Coach Vicky, you know, doesn't mind being in that position. You know, how do you see this matchup?
Well, first of all, I think Centennial should be the second-ranked team, to be honest with you, in my opinion. I think Northwest is clearly number one because of what they have, who they have in the circle. Mm-hmm. Which is a tremendous competitor, Slater. But I think, personally, I think Centennial's the second. In my opinion, the body of work they've done, they're the second best team. I look forward to this because it's just a great matchup. We played over here at the end of the season, maybe this 8-7 or 7-6, something like that. Mm-hmm. It was just, we hit a home run the first inning. We got two outs on them, and then Jordan hits a home run and kind of gets them going. They score three or four in the first inning. And, you know, I've seen these, you know, I coached these girls when they were younger, a few of them. And then I got to play against these Ankeny girls, and it's always been just, they're great kids. I mean, I'm looking forward to it because I think it's going to be a great softball game. But, like, Matty Ott's tremendous, Lynchcomb, the three. You have the best three pitchers, I think. The only thing, if you need three at state tournament, that's not how it works.
Right,
you
know, right.
Double elimination next year with a staff like Centennial has this year, I think really plays into their hand.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
If you did happen to lose a game, you know. But, and then you got, you know, I was thinking of Stars, Daughters really done well. So, you know, you've got some youth, and so we've only got two girls back with state tournament experience from that team last year. And it's been fun watching our team develop and watching Zlomke come along as a number one pitcher. And then, Matt Moeller, she's just
incredible,
incredible hitter right now. I mean, if people love hitting and competition, I mean, this game, I've seen the state tournament 2 years ago. I remember when Centennial, nobody could get him out. You know, they won the state title relatively easily.
Oh, yeah. Well.
And they could do that. Same time, they might hit six balls right at people. And then you never know. We're the same way, only not quite as deep in hitting as Centennial is. So I see it as for us to win, I think it's got to be like a 4-3 game. I think if we try to get into a 10-9, 10-8 game with Centennial, I think we're in trouble. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I just do. That's how I see it.
Well, there are five teams from the CIML in the tournament, which I don't think surprises anybody, but I didn't think Dallin would be one of them. But I guess they are one of the teams that maybe got a couple girls back that weren't there all year, right?
Yeah, and they've hit the ball pretty well all year. And, you know, Johnston kind of stumbling against them early. I think I don't know if they took it for granted, but I think they thought, you know, we played Dallin first conference game of the year, and they beat us 6-2, and I went, whoa, hold on here. And we kind of felt like we didn't play very well. Then we beat them the next two games later in the year. But their lineup up and down, they swing it. Olson really is a good hitter in the 3-4 hole. And Johnson, the leadoff, can really swing it. And they've got Wachowski at the shortstop position. She's going, I think they got two kids already committed to UNI. They've got some depth. they don't have dog pitching, but they're number one. She mixes it up and keeps you off balance, you know. The team that's kind of got the good draw, I think, is Polk. They're on the other side where nobody knows them. And if you take them for granted, they can run. Ankeny had them on the ropes the other night, which after we played Ankeny and split with them, you know, we had a 9-2 lead, and they came back on us. I felt like their lineup really started swinging the bat, and I thought maybe Ankeny would get Polk. Polk's got – their young kids are fast.
Oh, yeah.
And they have about four lefties. They put a lot of pressure on me. So anything can happen up there. You know how that goes.
Oh, yeah. It should be a fun week. I'm looking forward to it, and I'll probably see you up there. And thanks a lot for coming in today, Brad.
Oh, man, it's always a pleasure. And in my heart, I was a Hawk a long time ago, you've got great – I was going to tell you, your coach, by the way, Centennial, he was taught in elementary school by Tom Bakey. Bakey was a Saydell elementary PE teacher.
Wow.
So a little tidbit there. That you got the old man versus the young
There you go.
Yeah, but I got a lot of respect for both Ankeny and Centennial. Looking forward to seeing them.
You bet. Thanks, Brad.
Take care.
You bet. All right, listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. Revive opened in 2017 and is located on the south side of Ankeny near Hy-Vee. They provide top-tier aesthetic procedures as well as dermatology. You can usually get a dermatology appointment the same day. Revive offers Botox, fillers, lasers, medical-grade skincare, weight loss injections, and cool sculpting. Revive loves Ankeny and is very supportive of this community. You can give them a call at 515-965-5677. I was actually hoping to have on a guest from Revive today. Haley Katika, who is their people operations coordinator, was going to be on, but they are having a big event today out there this afternoon, their Christmas in July celebration. I believe that's from 4:30 to 6:30, but they're going to be giving away a lot of prizes, and it should be a good time. I know I'm planning to stop by there, so you might want to check that out. Haley, of course, is a former Centennial and Valley softball standout, so I'm hoping to get her unique perspective on that matchup next week. Her senior season at Valley in 2019, she led the Tigers to a state title and was named the state's Player of the Year. So I thought it'd be fun to catch up with her, and we'll try to do that a different week. All right, well, my final guests today are from the Centennial softball team. To my left is the head coach of the Jaguars, and he has guided the team to state for the fourth time in the last 6 years. His fourth-ranked squad boasts a 32-9 record and will take a 9-game winning streak into the Class 5A tournament. He is Brett Delaney. Coach, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm doing great today.
Hey, you bet. And to my right is a senior catcher for the Jaguars. She is batting .297 with one home run, seven doubles, and 19 RBIs. She is committed to play for Grandview next year. She is McKenna Foster. McKenna, thanks for joining me. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm just going to bounce some questions back and forth between the two of you. And before we look ahead, I just want to briefly look back at your regional games. You guys survived the tough one against Urbandale in the semifinal on Saturday when you had to overcome a 6-0 deficit to post a 10-6 win. Coach, I know you had to sweat that one out, but do you think having to come from behind like that and doing it was good for your team in case you get in that situation again?
You know, they had the opportunity to learn in that game, and it was something where you never saw panic on any of their eyes, whether they were on the field or in the dugout. They had confidence in each other and were able to overcome an obstacle and learn from it and grow. And I think that helped us Tuesday night against Cedar Rapids Kennedy, and just learning from a good Urbandale squad. So.
And McKenna, what was going through your mind when you guys fell behind 6-0? Did you get worried at all?
I mean, we knew it was going to be a battle going into it. Postseason is a different ballgame. And Coach told us just go into it. Like, everyone's got a new record, and anything that's happened in the past, it doesn't matter. But I know that any of my teammates, like, we all have each other's back. We built those bonds in the offseason, so we knew we were going to pull through together.
Well, your team then punched its ticket to state on Tuesday with a 12-3 win over Cedar Rapids Kennedy in five innings in a game where you never trailed. I thought the Kennedy pitcher might give you guys some trouble because she had compiled some really good stats this season, and the Cougars had posted four consecutive shutouts. McKenna, what was the scouting report against her? What did you know about the pitcher?
Yeah, we played her a few times in club ball, just sporadically throughout the fall and winter. So a few of us have seen her a couple times, so we just communicated what we had seen in the off season.
And Coach, you told me that your own pitcher, Peyton Spiegel, kind of set the tone for the game by striking out the Kennedy side in the top of the first. You elected to start her in the circle, and she got the win with some relief help from Aubrey Skaczynski. After Aubrey got the win in relief of Corey Lindstrom against Urbandale. And I know you have, you know, two other pitchers on the staff as well that you have confidence in. You know, is this about as deep of a pitching staff as you've ever had?
Yeah, you know, over the course of my few years at Centennial, it's probably the deepest that we've been in the circle as a staff. And it's just something to, a testament to all the work that those girls put in the offseason and then during the season. And it's not an easy position, and we're fortunate to have five of them available for us. And then we're fortunate to have a good, I guess, stable of catchers, too, to call a good game for them. And they're backup right there. So, yeah, it's as a pitching staff, we're very fortunate for those five.
Now, McKen, as the team's catcher, has it been pretty easy for you to transition from one pitcher to another? You know, I assume they all maybe don't throw the exact same pitches or the same velocity, so you probably have to, you know, make some adjustments, don't you?
Yes, sir. I mean, with any pitcher you're going to have to adjust. But I think the more time I spend in the bullpen with each of them, it's made it easier for me to do my job.
Well, your team will now play number 5 Valley in Monday's quarterfinals at 3 p.m. on Iowa Central Field. This will be the fourth meeting between the two teams. You guys swept the doubleheader at Valley on June 12th by scores of 8-0 and 8-4, and then you beat the Tigers again 8-6 on July 3rd at Centennial. Valley only led briefly in the last two of those games. Each time they rallied to take the lead, you guys responded right away in your next at bat to regain the lead. You know, but Coach, after you guys struggled to beat Urbandale for the fourth time on Saturday, you know, are you a little leery about playing another conference rival for the fourth time when you already beat them three times?
You know, as a coaching staff, both with Centennial and then talking to other CIML coaches, we went to a new schedule this year where we had to play each other three times during the regular season, knowing that when postseason came, we're probably going to have to play a team or two the fourth time. And as a coach, we don't love that opportunity, but you know, we'll take advantage, or we'll take every opportunity that we're given. We're very fortunate that we get to play a good Valley squad up in Fort Dodge this week. And you know, it's just going to be one pitch at a time, one out at a time, to try to find a way to get that fourth victory over a really good Valley team. So yeah, you know, it's a challenge. We know each other well. We played them multiple times last year. Obviously, this will be the fourth time this year. And Coach Bakey will have his team ready, but we'll have our team ready as well.
And McKenna, you guys have to be confident going into the game, but I'm sure Coach has preached you guys that you can't be overconfident, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, Coach, when you look at Valley's lineup, you know, there's obviously one hitter who sticks out, a leadoff batter, Mackenzie Moeller, is tied with Jordan Kennedy for the Class 5A lead in home runs with 20, and she hit a pair of those in the last game at Centennial. You know, she's probably the one girl in their lineup that you don't want to beat you, right?
You know, they've got a lineup full of really good hitters, and she's a good one, and they'll have a good girl in Carrie Rose in the two-hole, and Ballard in the three-hole, and Hervey in the four-hole, and it's just like us, where we're loaded 1-9, they're loaded 1-9, and I think if you look at the last box score, there was a 6 home runs hit between the two teams, so I would guess some runs are going to be scored, and it's just going to be us hopefully making the routine plays when we get the opportunity, and then taking advantage of a few mistakes that they make. And you know, Mackenzie Moeller for them is a really good player. I'm going to have the fortunate opportunity to get to coach her at the end of the season in the senior all-star game with McKenna as well on our squad. So it's something that I'm looking forward to here in a couple weeks, but I'd like to find a way to beat her on Monday first.
Well, McKenna, I don't want you to give away your strategy, but have you seen enough of Moeller this season to at least, you know, have a pretty good idea of how you guys want to attack her when she bats?
I mean, anytime we play them, it's going to be a battle. So I think if we just lean on each other and really band together as a team, we can get the job done.
And Coach, speaking of not giving away your strategy, I'm not going to ask you, you know, who you're planning to pitch on Monday. But, you know, let me ask you this. When you do make that decision, is it more of a gut feeling, or is it based, you know, somewhat on your pitcher's styles and the matchups that they'll have against certain batters?
You know, it's a combination of all of those. I have three of the best assistants in the state. And bouncing ideas off them, bouncing ideas off McKenna as our starting catcher. And then playing a little bit of matchup against the team that we're going to play plays into that. And so, yeah, we haven't made a decision yet of who we're going to start, and obviously they're all going to be ready, and whether whoever starts, someone's going to be ready for relief or multiple of relief. And like we tell them, it's one game at a time up there. Everybody's 0-0 again, so we're back to square one and finding a way to hopefully get that first victory, and then see what the rest of the week brings.
Well, the entire top half of the bracket is comprised of CIML teams because the winner of your game will play either number one Waukee Northwest or Dowling Catholic in the semifinals on Wednesday. Now, the Maroons were really the only surprise team to make it to state because they have a sub 500 record. McKenna, how surprised were you that, you know, Dowling earned a trip to Fort Dodge?
I mean, it's an exciting opportunity, so it's cool that more CIML teams are in it. So, yeah.
And Coach, regardless of the outcomes on Monday, you'll be either be playing, you know, one of those teams in the semifinals on Wednesday or the other team in a consolation game on Tuesday. Does that make the preparation for those first two games a little easier just because you are so familiar with those opponents?
You know, it makes it a little bit easier. It doesn't take any of the time that we'll spend on past game film and past charts that we have on them. And, you know, it just we don't have to travel to a couple hours to go watch a team this way or dig and ask different things for pieces of scouting. So the scouting part of it's we have a little bit more information right at our hands, a little easier, but the time spent preparation, it is all the same no matter who we're playing.
And McKenna, you guys were one of the teams to hand Northwest a loss this season. You guys split a doubleheader over there on June 5th, but the Wolves later won the third meeting at Centennial 8-0, and that helped them to wrap up the conference title. I know Coach doesn't want you guys to look too far ahead, but I'm sure you'd love to get another crack at that team, wouldn't you?
Yeah, of course. Being a competitive player in this conference, it's a lot of fun to be able to play good teams, and I think pretty much every team in CIML is a good, solid team. So it's just exciting.
And Coach, I know you're probably not too concerned about the bottom half of the bracket at this point, but if you guys are able to beat Valley, then you'll know that pending the outcome of Wednesday's game, you know, you're either going to play one of those teams for the championship or third place on Thursday. And I'm sure you're familiar with those matchups in the first round. Who do you see maybe coming out of that other side of the bracket?
You know, if you're looking at it and being a CIML coach, you want to see Southeast Polk on that bottom side come out of it and have a all CIML final and just show that this is probably the best conference in the state of Iowa that we have to play in 24 games. And so we've been battle-tested and thankful that we put out quality opponents night in and night out for those CIML games. But, you know, I think we're one of the few teams up there. We've played, seven of the eight qualifiers this year. So we challenge our girls with a tough schedule. And, you know, no matter who comes out of the top side or the bottom side, we're going to have our girls ready. And it's their 40 game of preparation that led them to this opportunity. So, yeah, I guess back to your original question, I guess we hope and as a CIML coach that Southeast Polk's on the bottom, but you just never know. I mean, there's four good teams. There's eight good teams up there this week. So. It's going to be a fun tournament.
And McKenna, there is a chance that the last two champions could meet in the final. You were a sophomore on the 2023 Centennial squad that defeated Pleasant Valley to win the title, and the Spartans came back last year to win the crown. Now that Centennial team just, you know, got really hot at the right time and outscored its three opponents by a 29-2 margin at the state tournament. Do you see any similarities, you know, between that Centennial team and this year's?
Yes, sir. I think it's really just how close we are as a team. I mean, both in 2023, we were all basically a family, like really tight-knit and everything, and I can see the same thing this year.
And Coach, how about you? Do you see any similarities between that team and this one?
You know, McKenna brings up a good point. The closeness that this group has, both on the field and off the field, is very similar. And it's different players. I think we counted there was only four total players that's in this dugout that were with us in 2023. You know, it's a fresh group up there, so they're eager, they're willing to go, and I'm sure if we go back and look statistic-wise, they're probably fairly similar, and so, yeah, it's similar team, but different, so it's exciting.
And McKenna, I know you were a reserve on that team 2 years ago, and obviously you're more of a key player who has started 38 of the 41 games. You know, if you guys are fortunate enough to win state again, you know, what would that mean to you to do it in your senior year? Would this one mean a little more to you than the one from 2 years ago?
I mean, I think they both are just a great accomplishment, and to be able to be at least a small part of that is extraordinary, and it's an accomplishment I'll hold for the rest of my life. But to do it with this group would be pretty cool.
Well, it should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to the tournament next week. I'll see you guys up there, and thanks a lot for coming in today. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having us.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. When you work with Legacy Realty, you're not just getting one of the largest and most trusted real estate agencies in Ankeny, you're partnering with over 75 expert agents who are committed to your success. Whether you're searching for your dream home or selling your property for the best possible price, we offer the right tools, strategies, and support to help get you there. As part of LPT Realty, a national leader in the real estate industry, we combine local expertise with innovative resources to give you an unbeatable advantage. Choose us for unparalleled service, proven results, and a commitment to your success in every transaction. Legacy Realty of Iowa, where your real estate goals become a reality. I want to thank my guests for coming in today. We had Brad Rose, we had the Centennial duo of Coach Brett Delaney and senior catcher McKenna Foster, And we started out the day today with our frequent guest, Andy Pollack. Appreciate the time from all those folks today. And come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, as we're going to be focusing on Ankeny Christian Academy baseball.